Mr. Chair, and pursuant to Agenda Item 1A, Commissioner Makai Ali is participating remotely pursuant to Government Code Section 54953B, as allowed by state law and which does not require commission approval. As noted on the agenda, he is participating remotely from the Compton Unified School District in Compton, California, a location which is fully accessible to members of the public. The law requires confirmation of whether any members of the public are at the remote location. Commissioner Ali, is any member of the public with you at your teleconference location?
Good morning. No individual of the public are with me this morning.
Commissioner Ali, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
We believe he is there. I'll come back to him in a moment.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, you may want to move on for now to the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Chair, with your consent and with the consent of the commission, staff recommends that the commission take up agenda item CS1. That's again, agenda item CS1 after considering all items on the open session agenda. Is that acceptable to the commission? Okay, thank you. Before I move on to item 3, we wanted to take a short point of personal privilege. Yesterday was a very important day in LA County. It was Chair Don Deere's birthday. So with your allowance, we thought we would break, and Adriana volunteered to lead us in a happy birthday to you. So the microphone is now hers. I would note that before the meeting, I asked Don how old his younger brother is, and he said he's 8 years younger than me, at which I said, oh, so he's 21. So just in case you're wondering about Don's age. Item 3 is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time. Seeing none, I have a few announcements. Actually, before we move to that, Commissioner Ali, are you there?
Present. Can you hear me?
Commissioner Ali?
Present.
Back to that in a moment. Consistent with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website and at the meeting location here at the Hall of Administration on Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. It was also posted at the teleconference location at the Compton Unified School District at 501 South Santa Fe Avenue, Compton, California, 90221. On February 5th, 2026.
The attendance
of hearing notices stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit comments by email or U.S. mail no later than 5 o'clock yesterday. Council has reviewed the agenda and has affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and state your last name so that we can record it in the minutes. Because a commissioner is participating remotely today, all votes at today's meeting will be by roll call. Item 4 is the swearing in of speakers and public testimony. We have arranged for members of the public to provide verbal testimony during today's meeting. Is there any member of the public here in the room who wishes to testify? I don't see any. Is there any member of the public who may be accessing the meeting remotely who wishes to speak during today's meeting? Please speak up now. Okay, I will call once again. Item 5 is public comment. The first opportunity, the members of the public.
Morning, good morning, good morning.
At the teleconference location or otherwise joining remotely to address the commission. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Is there any member of the public here in the room or who is joining remotely who would like to be heard under public comment? Seeing none, Mr. Chair, you may want to move on to the consent agenda, agenda item 6.
Good morning, good morning.
Staff recommends the commission adopt one motion approving the consent agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll move. Altune?
Made here and seconded here. Any discussion on the motion? Call the roll on the motion to approve all the consent items.
Commissioner Altune?
Aye.
Commissioner Barker? Commissioner Finley?
Aye.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Okay.
Did you say yes?
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Diaz?
Yes, and the motion passes. Thank you very much. Seven? Item seven?
There are no items seven or eight, Mr. Chair. Your next item is agenda item 9A. 9A is position salary ranges. As commissioners may recall, this item was continued from two previous meetings. Staff is requesting that the commission revise the existing salary ranges for LAFCO employees. I would note, by the way, that staff is handing out a chart that will help you understand this item. It has been nearly 4 years since the commission last approved the current salary ranges. We have surveyed a cohort of five other LAFCOs, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, Santa Clara, and Ventura, copies of which were just provided to you this morning. As documented in your written staff report and in the handout, the salaries at other LAFCOs have increased, and significantly so, and the high end of their respective salary range is often beyond the high end of our existing salary ranges. To provide flexibility over the next few years, we used the high end of the ranges of the other five LAFCOs and added a 10% inflation escalator. We would anticipate that these ranges would be sufficient for the next 3 to 5 years. Separately, we're proposing to consolidate the local government analyst and GIS technician positions because of their existing salary ranges are similar. And over the past several years, two GIS techs have transitioned into the local government position. The proposed salary ranges will enable LAFCO to attract and retain competent, professional, and qualified staff. By way of history, when I arrived here in 2011, there was an existing set of salary ranges, to which I discovered within about a year that one of the employees was significantly beyond the range for his salary. So we brought in a proposal to update the ranges at that time. They generally last, I think last been here about 4 years ago. So generally every 3 to 4 years, we will come back and say, hey, as salaries go up, not just at other LAFCOs, which is kind of our baseline, but we do also to some degree consider the fact that our competition, as it were, for both hiring and retaining employees is the county, the cities, the special districts, and other public agencies within LA County. So we provided you the chart this morning to sort of show our math, to give you an understanding of how we got there. And with that, we would recommend that the commission approve the proposed salary ranges. And with that, we'd be happy to entertain any questions that the commission may have.
Record, the current range is in blue on this graph.
Yes, the current range for LA LAFCO is the blue, and then the pink at the bottom is the proposed range.
Either questions or motions?
I have a couple questions. Okay. So this is just based on the survey of LAFCOs, right? How were salaries actually determined to begin with? Was there some baseline or something with the county or anything that ultimately determined how salaries were set?
We did not look at what the county uses. In looking at cohorts, we tried to identify five LAFCOs that have the same five positions that we do. And I think even in a couple places, you'll see some NAs because they didn't. You know, some LAFCOs, in all candor, are one person. There's really only a handful that are sort of in the 5 to 10 employees. So it's really based primarily on that.
Shit, before I get to compliment,
right? Some of the challenges that we're dealing with above and beyond what you see in writing are the high cost of living in LA. And secondly, the fact that some of the larger public agencies in LA tend to pay well. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. But we do have sort of a higher scale than, for example, if I look at, to pick on Butte LAFCO today, their salaries are substantially lower. But the cost of living is lower, the salary scale in that area is lower. So, you know, it's largely based, I think, on history and other LAFCOs.
So I'm trying to understand, and maybe Catherine, maybe I can ask you the question. In terms of like with salary adjustments, because some of these are pretty big, like for example, looking at, and just the range I'm talking about, looking at, for example, the local government analyst, our current range right now is 70 to 95, and the proposed range goes to 135. That's quite a big, I'm just wondering, is there some sort of standard the county takes in terms of adjusting salaries, or, because it's a pretty big change.
You do a review, and I think you've worked, the county weighed in on this, correct? I mean, this is consistent with how the county goes about. We do a breakdown, and then we do a review and look county at other counties around us.
I would not say that we sat down with county staff to consult and go over this line to line. And part of the challenge we have, this LAFCO and all other LAFCOs have, especially those LAFCOs that are part of their county, there's nothing that really corresponds to it. The closest thing generally would be the county's regional planning department. But if you kind of look at what the salaries are of like an assistant planner, project planner, they're about where our analyst range is. And that's about the closest that we would find. My colleagues, for example, Sacramento LAFCO, Riverside LAFCO, they struggle with trying to match up a deputy executive officer, for example. What is that in regional planning? Well, it's kind of a principal planner. Maybe it's a senior planner. I don't think we're far off from the pay scale for comparable positions, either at other LAFCOs or within those planning departments. In fact, I would say, just again, this is speculation, on both the city planning and county planning, I think we would probably be a little bit lower.
And I would say that we're going through this now, and actually it's going to court with Lacera, our retirement.
Okay.
Because we're using positions that are really not, in my opinion, comparable to Lacera, but the county is holding firm that you have to. And I would say that if it's not an apples to apples, you have to look at other counties that have other LAFCOs, I'm assuming, to try to look at what the comparable is, because in the county we don't have that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that some of the role is not equal to what planner does over regional planning. I don't know. That's where you come in.
When they're adjusting salaries such as this, and it's teed up to the county, to, for example, does it come from like a human resources or somebody that, and do we have access to some sort of county human resources just to see how they establish policy as opposed to, because I kind of feel like, I agree, these salaries are all over the board, but I'm not sure how I can justify this.
Human resources does review all of our ranges. And then if something is got to be studied that is out of class, that goes to the CEO, but human resources does play a role with that.
I mean, without incurring a cost, in all candor, from county human resources, we don't have access to their human resources folks. I would say we struggle with doing our best to retain employees and periodically to hire when we do have new positions that periodically open up.
Can I ask a clarifying question on the table, which might help? So I think that the range is below the current range is expressing a five-year period, or sorry, four-year period. So that 70,000 to 95,000, if I'm reading this correctly, was established back in January 1 of 2021. And so it's been about 4 years since that time. So it's accounting for the inflation over that period of time.
I understand that. I'm just
So what we're looking at here, I think, is if I look in the same category, local government analyst, that 95 pegs against the 95,468 in terms of the starting point, and that allows for a range of up to 3 to 5 years of inflation to grow up to 135. So that's about a 3 1/3% inflation factor if it was 3 years, or 2% inflation factor if it was over 5 years. So in terms of from an inflation factor standpoint, that seems rational, at least reasonable in that sense, and starting for the lowest point, that seems to align itself pretty neatly with what we have here.
So you're taking it back to 2021.
Commissioner McCallum, I would add, and Adriana just reminded me, about 2 years ago, Orange LAFCO did a study, and it resulted in them actually increasing their salary ranges for all of their employees. Now, we have not done the same thing here, but that study looked at, because the position that their executive officer took is, you keep comparing us only to other LAFCOs, and it's really not, my employees are not going to leave to go work at Ventura or Sacramento LAFCO, but they might go work for the city of Orange or the county of Orange. That resulted in, I think it was an 8% increase in the ranges for Orange. And Orange is one of the ones that we did include in our cohort study to try to get LAFCOs that were somewhat similar to ours in terms of size and staffing and capacity.
Just a general comment. This is only for the non-contracted staff. It looks very similar to how my organization works, that we have a five-step process, a salary range, and the control of what step the underlying employee and employees of the agency there are totally a purview of the executive officer, in our case, the general manager for my district. I'm assuming that our executive director is a contract employee.
The distinction between me and the other staff, essentially, that this sets the ranges for six of this of your seven employees. My salary is different. My salary is determined by the commission in closed session.
Is it a contract? Because I
know, I have a yes.
For example, the
a contract when I was hired, and that has since been amended. I apologize.
That we do review his performance every year and renew depending on the circumstances.
By agreement of the commission and me, I'm reviewed. For example, I'm reviewed every 3 years. You get to see me again this June.
So we'll be looking forward at some time of reviewing your again.
Yeah.
Because I know when I first arrived, we were reviewing your.
The last time I was reviewed was in June of 2023.
Okay, thank you.
Else? What's your recommendation?
The recommendation would be for the commission to approve the new salary ranges as described in the staff report.
Move approval.
I'll second it.
Seconded. Any other discussion?
Yes, go ahead. One other just discussion. So this is for a 3 to 5 year period?
Correct.
Did we state that this is for a 3 year? Because it doesn't say that actually in the recommendation.
We could have something, if you choose to amend the motion, we could say come back in 3 years or 4 years, whatever discretion you would like to see.
Yeah, I think that would be prudent.
How many years would you like it?
Well, this is evaluated for, what did you say, 4 years?
I would recommend 3 or 4, but it's your decision.
Okay, but the analysis you just stated, the inflation rate 3 to 4% per year for 3-4 years? For 3 years.
3 years. Is that acceptable to the maker and seconder of the motion?
Seconder? To them?
That's fine.
Okay.
Question? All right, let's call the roll on the motion as amended.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger?
Yes.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Deere?
Yes, the motion passes.
Mr. Chair, LAFCO Deputy Executive Officer Adrian Aromo will present agenda items number 9B and 9C.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the fiscal year 2025-2026 mid-year budget status report, the Commission policy requires staff to present a report on the status of the budget at mid-year, which includes July 1st of 2025 through December 31st of 2025. And based on those figures also is provided our projected year end estimates. And we're currently on track to end and close the fiscal year at slightly higher than expected revenues at 1.3%. And if the year bears out, staff just anticipates cost savings of 1.3%. We're on target, nothing significant. It's a lot more boring than the staff salaries, but if I am here to take any questions of the commission.
Are there any questions on the on the budget status report.
I just have a couple.
Yes.
It looks really great. Just, first of all, the interest rate is fantastic. Who are you investing in? That's 7%. It's like, wow. And then I think this might be a timing issue or whatever with the MSR. I see it's 180,000, and is it just coming in later, or how does that actually work? Is the timing?
It's timing. We have three current consultants, and one of them has billed periodically. The second consultant has not billed at all.
Okay.
And the third one has provided a modified schedule where their work will linger into the following fiscal year. And
okay.
At the time that we present the proposed budget for the coming year, we will reflect those numbers.
And then the final question I had, just in terms of, I know travel's just up a bit, I know because of the changes with the beginning of the year. With the changes that are coming up between the Alliance of LAFCOs and Cal LAFCO, are we adequately budget for accommodating some of that?
Currently, we are low.
Okay.
I guess during the pandemic, we reduced it significantly. Historically, it was about 13,000 to 15,000 a year.
Okay.
And we reduced it to, I believe it's 10,000.
Okay.
So with the Alliance and with Cal LAFCO, there may be a need to increase that allocation in the coming.
Okay.
Budget.
That's all my questions, but looks good.
I might just add, we're currently looking at your budget for next year, and we'll address those issues in the budget that you will see next month.
Motion on this? Question? Call the roll.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Dear?
Yes, and 9B passes. 9C.
9C is the fiscal year 2025-26 mid-year investment status report. Commission policy also requires staff to present a report of the status of interest income at mid-year. And as you can see, for fiscal year 2025, if projections bear out, staff anticipates higher than expected interest in the county treasurer operating funds, as well as its other post-employment benefits trust fund. So interest rates are amazing right now. We're really benefiting from it. The only difference is the OPEB is not tangible income at this moment, while the funds held in the county treasurer are, and it's something that if needed, we can use during the fiscal year. So at this time, staff is taking any questions and of the commission. Not staff recommends that the commission receive and file the mid-year investment status report.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second. Here, any pushback, Mr. Manager? You were talking about pushback last month.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you just said.
Talking about pushback on this motion. Remember, you recall that?
No.
Correctly.
Not on this one.
Okay. There may be pushback to adding additional board members to the South Coast Regional.
Oh, I think that's left over from the board meeting, Mr. Chair.
All right, any other discussion? Questions?
You have a motion in a second.
All right, no further discussion. Please call the roll.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Dear?
Yes, and motion 9C passes. Now we're on 9D.
Mr. Chair, LAFCO analyst Alicia O'Brien will present agenda item 9D.
Good morning, Commission. Good morning, Commissioners. This is for agenda item 9D, statements of economic interest form 700 filing. The County of Los Angeles COI division should have already emailed you a link to an online Form 700 filing system e-disclosure with login credentials. Once logged into the system, it will consist of tutorials on how to file your Form 700. Hard copies of your Form 700 will still be accepted, but it strongly suggested that you file your Form 700 online. The annual deadline to file your Form 700 is Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. In your agenda package, and as shown on the screen, is a sample of what the county suggests, pre-filled responses, and completing your Form 700 with LAFCO. Staff recommends that the commission receive and file concerning the Statements of Economic Interest Form 700 filing. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair, just as informing staff, I've completed that I am required to, and if you receive something in the mail, that is just a hard copy backup for your records.
Thank you.
That I don't believe, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go on.
Can I make a motion and second, please?
To receive and file.
To receive and file.
I'll move the report.
Wow, okay. Okay, receive and file?
Yeah.
By, and seconded by whom? Whoever's turn it is, right?
I'll second.
Okay, other discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger? Commissioner Finley?
Yep.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Chair Diaz?
Yes, and please file your forms if you haven't done so.
Thank you, Commission.
Your next item, Mr. Chair, is 10A. 10A is a request that the Commission support legislation to allow LAFCOs to initiate changes of organization, reorganizations of out-of-agency services agreements for the provision of water and wastewater services. We are asking the Commission to take a support and concept position concerning proposed legislation relative to LAFCO authority to initiate changes of organization and reorganizations for water and wastewater service. This legislation is sponsored by a UC Berkeley working group that included representatives of several LAFCOs, as well as three community-based organizations. The legislative proposal is composed of three items. It would amend Government Code Sections 56375 and 56133 to expand LAFCO's initiating powers to include boundary changes and extraterritorial services agreements, when warranted, to address documented public health or safety threats related to water or wastewater service as locally determined by the Commission. Under present law, we can only consider those requests if an applicant files an application with LAFCO. This would allow the Commission to initiate those requests and is largely intended to, the source of the legislation is really to address underserved and socioeconomically disadvantaged communities that may be reliant upon wells or septic service rather than municipal sewers and municipal water. The second provision would amend the code to require LAFCOs to transmit a summary of our MSR determinations of affected agencies, and further requires those affected agencies to agendize the matter at their own respective public meetings and to certify they have done so to LAFCO. The third item is an amendment relative to mobile home parks that operate community water systems. It would require them to respond to requests for LAFCO for information, similar to what we require of mutual water companies. Your staff has reviewed the draft, and for the most part, we are supportive. We believe that it would advance LAFCO's statutory role in aligning municipal service delivery with community needs. We did have concerns about requiring cities and special districts to agendize draft MSRs on their agendas and report back to LAFCOs with comments. This concern was shared, I would note, amongst our three partner LAFCOs in the Alliance of LAFCOs. Part of the concern was, A, you would be mandating that cities and special districts do something. With all candor, my ability to get a city or special district to do something that they don't want to do is zero. Secondly, if they didn't do it, one could argue you haven't complied with the law. So we've suggested some amendments which simply say when we have a draft MSR that involves an agency, we provide a copy to them and provide them time to comment. If they choose to comment back, they can. In all candor, it's something we do anyway. I don't want anyone to be surprised by an MSR that comes out. So whether we're drafting it or consultants are drafting it, we always provide the agency with an opportunity to comment. Given that tweak and the way the existing legislation is written, we recommended the support and concept position, that you take that position, and that you authorize the chair to sign letters documenting the position, and direct staff to convey the support in concept to legislators and other stakeholders. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Well, thank you. I mean, one of the things as a result of the Altadena fire is the whole municipal water. And I realize just how little authority we have at a local level, at the state level. And so when you bring up municipal water districts, I was talking to one of my colleagues on the board. We have so many municipal water districts, and refresh my memory on what our role was with
Mutual water districts?
Yeah.
Yeah. So mutual water companies are not regulated by LAFCO. The sole area, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we did have an issue come before us as related to a district that was providing contaminated water. So that's why I'm trying to figure out what was our role.
So the contaminated water was, well, I hate to use the word contaminated, the tainted water, the brown water was technically a
ugly water you wouldn't drink.
It was technically a county water district, which is under the jurisdiction of LAFCO. So Sativa was similar to Crescenta Valley Water District. Trying to think of another example, but that's a good one. Mutual water companies, which the three are in Altadena, are not subject to LAFCO authority. There's been some discussion of whether they should, but right now they are not. There was a law passed in 2012, which said every mutual water company needs to give LAFCO a map of their boundaries. So we took the bull by the horn, sent letters to every mutual water company in the county. About 40% of them ultimately responded, and the others did not. Now, we have no enforcement authority. We can't go back. That information is helpful to us. Like if we're doing a municipal service review that was looking at, say, water in the Pasadena area, knowing that there are mutuals in and around that area is helpful. But as it stands today, we don't have any authority. We do periodically have conversations about some of the agencies we do regulate when they say, oh, we, the city of X, would like to service that mutual water company, or we, XYZ irrigation district or county water district, would like to service that area. In that case, generally they're annexed or served through an out-of-agency service agreement. This legislation, the intent, by the way, interestingly, it would give LAFCO additional authority, but it wasn't LAFCO's idea. It really comes from three environmental justice organizations in the Central Valley that are concerned about these service deserts in the Central Valley, generally of poor socioeconomically disadvantaged communities that don't get sewer and don't get water because cities and districts don't expand there. They want LAFCO in that situation to have the ability to go in and say, we're going to force this application to come before us to look at whether this district or this city should provide that service instead of the mutual.
Thank you.
What else? Yeah, go ahead.
So I understand that this is actually giving us another tool, a body of this tool to further regulate, because I do know my district has a area that eventually will be developed. And as part of our latent powers, we have reserved the right to initiate waste and wastewater treatment in our district, unless we can come to some agreement with the county sanitation districts that do overlie portions of our service area. But we do have a large undeveloped fracks that are presently vacant. And then we have reserved that right because we're concerned about the service. And also wastewater now is a resource that's highly recyclable and reusable.
I mean, this would give us additional authority, but I sort of see it like you have the ability to initiate a dissolution or consolidation of special districts. You've used that all of once in the 15 years I've been here, 16 years I've been here. I see this as something similar. It is more authority than you currently have. It is not something we would be using very routinely. I don't want to say it's extraordinary, but when you have a circumstance where you have a community that is underserved, probably the closest analogy I have to this, you approved an annexation within the past year There was a community water system for a mobile home park in LA County unincorporated near Lancaster. So there's a lot of small mobile home parks that operate their own water systems. They're often under-resourced in terms of managerial, technical, and financial resources. Those are the kind of things that can come under the umbrella of a city or a special district. But again, it's not something we would be using without great caution and discretion before going that route.
Question about timing. So this is support in concept. Is there any timeline that's been expressed by the body when they would go back and revisit the language or the provisions they found to be of issue?
The language right now is in the concept stage. There is a legislator, Senator Laird, who has agreed to carry the legislation, but he has not introduced it yet. The deadline is, I believe, mid-February. I think it's the 20th or 22nd. I expect it'll be introduced. It's going to go through a lengthy legislative process with at least assembly, local government, Senate, local government, and possibly two other committees because it deals with water. So I think the version that's before us today is, let's call it the alpha version. There's going to be a beta and many other versions as this goes through. But that was why we came to the support and concept. As it's written right now, with that requirement that a city or special district would have to agendize it, that's a problem for a whole bunch of reasons. So that's why we went to support and concept as opposed to support.
Move approval of staff's recommendation to take a support in concept position.
Second to that motion? I hear a second over here?
Yes.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger? Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis? Commissioner McCallum? Commissioner Marish? Chair Deere?
Yes, and the motion passes. Thank you. That item will go on to the page. Commissioners' reports. Any reports from commissioners? No, number 12. Executive officer's report.
I have a few items. The first is that the, as you may recall, my designee is conducting an election for currently for the special district voting member and the special district alternate member. I just wanted to let the commission know that the Special District Association of North Los Angeles County is scheduled a candidate forum for candidates for those positions for Thursday, April 2nd in Santa Clarita. This is approximately midway during the election cycle for those positions, as the nomination period closes on Friday, March 6th, and the voting period closes on Friday, May 1st. The second item is that you have a flyer that we handed out today. The Alliance of LAFCOs will be holding an all-day, well, sort of all-day, workshop on Tuesday, March 24th from 9:30 to 3. That'll include a morning session and an afternoon session. Steve Lucas, the former CalLAFCO executive officer and former Butte LAFCO EO, will be the moderator. Our special lunchtime speaker is Bill Pellman. So again, you have the flyer there. We hope all of you can make it. On the CalLAFCO side, I'm sorry, one last thing on the Alliance of LAFCOs. The Joint Audit Committee met to evaluate proposals in response to the RFP for auditors. They've reached agreement on a recommended accounting firm or auditing firm, excuse me. We will agendize a recommendation for you to award a contract next month. We'd like to thank Commissioner McCallum, who served on that committee along with Deputy Executive Officer Adriana Romo. On the CalLAFCO side, the CalLAFCO General Membership is meeting on February 23rd to consider two bylaws changes. The first would allow executive officers to serve as voting members of the board of directors. The second would eliminate the seat type categories, and all directors would now be elected at large from within their regions. You may recall a month or two ago, we showed you a new map with 9 regions. That effort has since been abandoned. They are keeping the 4 regions. So the southern region to which we used to belong, which was LA, Imperial, San Diego, Orange, San Bernardino, and Riverside, will remain in effect. Given that they're meeting on February 23rd in a couple weeks, We plan to agendize a discussion of Cal-LAFCO matters for your March meeting. I understand that Cal-LAFCO's interim executive officer, Michelle McIntyre, plans to be here to attend the meeting in person. And lastly, in your agenda package is also a flyer for a LAFCO 101 webinar on Wednesday, February 25th from 10 to 11:30. I'm pleased to report that two commissioners plan to attend, but if any of you would like to attend, again, it's a LAFCO 101 webinar. We're happy to register any of you who would like to attend. And that concludes my executive officer report.
Very good report. Thank you. Anyone else have questions? Okay, item. You have a question? Go ahead, Robert.
Microphone. Your mic. There we go.
Suggested LAFCO forum.
I'm sorry, of the what?
Bill Lancaster.
The LAFCO 101 or the Aldi?
You were saying that there was going to be, that's the, pardon me, the special districts.
Oh, Thursday, April 2nd in Santa Clarita at 11:30.
11:30 and
yeah.
And where?
In Santa Clarita. I don't have the room location. I'll get it to you.
But it'll be 11:30.
It'll be on the flyer. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll send it to you.
Any other questions?
Okay. I have a question.
Yes,
I was just wondering if we had any update on the lawsuit filed against us by the Center for Biological Diversity.
That'll be the focus of your closed session item today.
Okay.
Coming up.
Thank you.
Your next item, Mr. Chair, is public comment. This is the final opportunity for members of the public, including those joining remotely, to address the commission. Is there anyone here in the room or anyone online who would like to address the commission under public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to turn the microphone over to your counsel, Miguel Dagher, shortly. But for this would be the time to go to CS1, your closed session item. In consultation with our partners here at the county, they're allowing us to conduct your closed session meeting here so that you don't have to leave. Our audio video people will be muting this to the general public. In that rare, crazy technical event that something were to get through, we're going to recommend that you not use microphones because if for any reason there was a technical problem, it would get, and it was broadcast, it would get picked up. So I will turn it over to Miguel to, yeah, I'm sorry. One last thing we do need to do is all non-essential personnel will be required to clear the room. So we have arranged for those members of the I see the agenda is back.
And has, whoa.
You're on.
The commission has authorized the executive officer to execute a joint defense agreement with the city of Lancaster and North Point, the developer, in order to proceed with the defense of this litigation.
Have we called a roll on that yet?
That require a roll call vote?
Yes, please, since we have someone off the.
Do that.
Wait, we need staff back in, or Paul, you do it?
I think our clerk has stepped out, so I will call the roll. Commissioner Altoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Barger?
Aye.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Lewis?
Aye.
Commissioner McCallum?
Aye.
Commissioner Marisch? Chair Deere?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously. Before you move on, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to take one point of order and welcome Jonathan Brazil, who is joining your legal team. Jonathan is from the County Council's office, and in addition to Miguel and Tiffany, you will probably be seeing him at all of your meetings going forward. We will at some point, Tiffany is abandoning us back to her County Council responsibilities. So sometime within the next few months, she will no longer be representing LAFCO, and Jonathan will essentially fill that second chair.
Me too.
So do we. But welcome, Jonathan.
Welcome.
Your next item, Mr. Chair, is future meetings.
Okay, the adjournment is upcoming.
Second.
No objection. So ordered, we are adjourned.